And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Those are the beginning words of the Gospel of John, and for me, among the most important words in the Bible. These words establish that Jesus Christ is God. John is using the Greek word logos to refer to Jesus as the Word. John is telling us that Jesus is the Word. The Greek word logos means more than a word as something a child might spell in a spelling bee. The logos also meant reason, meaning, logic, wisdom. In other words, Jesus is the source of our meaning. Now, why am I talking about John when the scripture lesson is Luke? Our lesson today from Luke shows us Jesus reading and interpreting scripture. John tells us that Jesus is the root and ground of being and meaning. John tells us that not only does Jesus preach the Word, Jesus is the Word. Our understanding of Scripture should begin and end with Jesus Christ. Those who attend the Brown Bag Bible Study have heard me say this more than once, but it is critically important to how we view the Bible as the Word of God. Karl Barth, the greatest theologian of the 20th century, described this as the threefold form of the Word. The Word of God is like a target with Jesus as the bullseye. The ring around the bullseye is Scripture. And the ring around that is preaching or proclamation. In today's scripture, we have all three. We see Jesus, Jesus reading scripture, and Jesus proclaiming the Word of God. Our passage begins with the statement that Jesus is in the power of the Spirit. This story comes early in Jesus' ministry, shortly after his baptism and his 40 days in the wilderness, during which he is tempted. As we said when we looked at the baptism story, Jesus has joined with us in our everyday lives through his baptism. In the wilderness and temptation story, Jesus experienced the temptations that we all experience. And he relied on his understanding of Scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit to resist the devil. In changing water to wine at the wedding in Cana, which we talked about last week, Jesus celebrates with us in our times of triumph and joy. Jesus is truly with us in all aspects of our lives. So in today's story, Jesus reads and interprets Scripture through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is very important. This is why we pray for illumination and inspiration when we read Scripture. It's easy to misinterpret Scripture or to bend it to our own use. It is only through the Holy Spirit, the one who inspired Scripture to begin with, that we can understand and apply Scripture to our lives. The Holy Spirit was with the writers of Scripture, and the Holy Spirit is with the readers of Scripture. Jesus chooses a passage to read from the book of Isaiah. Because Jesus was reading from a scroll, he had to be very familiar with the passage in order to find it. When he does find it, he reads it somewhat differently than what we have in our Bible. The passage from the beginning of Isaiah 61, with the addition of one extra phrase, reads as follows. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. That last phrase, it's interesting to note that Jesus chose to stop before that last phrase. He left off the phrase, the day of vengeance of our God. Richard Rohr notes this, quote, Jesus omits troublesome verses with which he does not agree. As when he drops the final half verse from the Isaiah scroll when he first reads in the Nazareth synagogue. The audience would be familiar with the final line of Isaiah 61, 2, quote, to proclaim a day of vengeance from our God, end quote. Yet Jesus ends earlier with, proclaims the Lord's day of favor, end quote. This is one reason that we interpret Scripture in light of the teaching and the authority of Jesus Christ. It is clear that Jesus does not always agree with the popular interpretation of the Scripture of the day. This is not to say that Jesus disregarded Scripture. Far from it. It's obvious that Jesus was very familiar with Scripture. However, Jesus made it clear that overly rigid interpretation of Scripture missed God's true message. Consider Jesus' message in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, when he says six times, the law says, but I say. In those verses, Jesus is not abolishing the law. He is reinterpreting the law from the rigid moralism to an emphasis on love. The Jews had created 613 mitzvot, or rules, to fence the law. The idea was that by keeping all these rules, the Jews could avoid violating the commandments. Jesus preached a different approach. In Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40, hear this. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Of course, the Jews of the day called their scripture the law and prophets. So he's referring to all the scripture that they knew. Jesus was changing the approach from fencing the law with rules to fulfill the law by love. By loving God and loving neighbor, one would keep the law without being legalistic. Like our passage today, Jesus obviously picked and chose scriptures from the sacred text. It's interesting that the only time Jesus quotes the book of Leviticus, which is a book full of lots of rules, is to quote the positive passage from Leviticus 19:18. Quote, "You must love your neighbor as yourself," end quote. Likewise, Jesus chose to ignore many of the so-called purity laws recorded in Leviticus. Richard Rohr notes this, quote, "Jesus consistently and openly flouts seemingly sacred taboos like not working on the Sabbath, not meeting with women, not eating with sinners and non-Jews, not touching lepers, and purity codes in general. He is shamed and criticized for ignoring sacred hand washing, taboos against touching the dead, unclean people and unclean foods, and the practice of stoning women adulterers. Jesus has Jewish common sense and can never be called a legalist. In fact, he is accused of being called a libertarian and a non-ascetic instead of following the strict fasting of John the Baptist and his disciples," end quote. In passing, I would like to note that it's not entirely clear that all Jews practice purity laws either. Orthodox Jew and New Testament scholar Amy Jill Levine has written many times that Christian scholars frequently misrepresent Jewish thinking when they overemphasize the scope and influence of Jewish purity laws on everyday Jewish life. For example, she disagrees that the Levite and the priest in Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan did not render aid because of purity law considerations. She finds Jesus' interpretation of the Old Testament rule to love neighbor taken from Leviticus 19 as being equally applicable to Jewish law and would supersede any purity law considerations. It's obvious that Jesus took Scripture seriously. He quoted Scripture to emphasize points such as, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." In response to the devil's temptation that Jesus turned stones to bread when he was hungry, that Scripture alone reemphasizes the importance of being familiar with Scripture. We, like Jesus, should live on the words of life that proceed from the mouth of God. However, we must be careful that those words are not taken out of context and turned into words of death. Richard Rohr states it this way, quote, "For all its inspiration, for all the lives it has changed, the Bible is undeniably problematic. Put in the hands of egocentric, unloving, or power-hungry people, or those who've never learned how to read spiritually inspired literature, it's almost always a disaster. History has demonstrated this century after century, so this is not an unwarranted, disrespectful, or biased conclusion. The burning of heretics, the Crusades, slavery, apartheid, homophobia, and the genocide and oppression of native peoples were all justified through selective use of Scripture," end quote. We avoid improper use of Scripture by following Jesus' lead. We seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We read Scripture in light of how Jesus read Scripture. We read Scripture with the light of love, knowing that God, who is love, revealed God's love and God's purpose through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then, after reading Scripture, we, like Jesus, seek to fulfill God's purpose in our lives. May it be so. Amen. Having heard the word of God,